It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hannah Stanley here, filling in for Frank Fontana on this Easter Sunday. And as of right now, it is starting to cloud over. It looks like it was a glorious day driving in. It was a glorious morning. I hope everyone who is, in fact, celebrating Easter had a very nice, morning, Easter egg hunt, trip to church, however you celebrate. I hope you were able. I walked the dog. That's what I did. I went out and looked at my neighbors who were all dressed up and leaving and going to church mm-hmm. in their Easter best, and thought, wow, good for you guys. As I stood there.
Well, some people have to work on Sundays.
Waiting. Yes. Well, yeah. Exactly. I suppose we could have jammed in a church service. But I told you this, and I'll share this. We were invited to an Easter egg hunt that I was very excited about.
Yes.
Co-worker here by the name of Rick Geezer. Uh-huh. Apparently host this, and this is the 15th annual Easter egg hunt, and I've not been invited until this year, and so we were super excited. 3,000.
It's a 14-year waiting period. That's how.
That's what I've heard. It's very similar to the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yes,
totally in that same caliber. My son got sick.
Oh.
And so because I'm a good stand-up person, and so is my husband,
right.
We don't take the kid who's just had the fever or might still have a fever with 50 other kids.
Yes, and as a parent of a three-month-old who got a fever, we'd have to take her to the hospital no matter what. I thank you.
Yes, yes. And I don't feel like I'm spreading germs because my son just has he gets pneumonia like it's his job. So I don't feel like I'm... Because I did notice you moved.
Does he get paid to get pneumonia? Like, is that his actual job?
We're working on that.
That's
not working on a sponsor for his pneumonia, because I guess that's what we in radio do. We sponsor 7200 if you have a text or call in with a possible sponsor for my son's pneumonia. No, it. So that's what we did. We just hung out and waited for we had the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny came. You, as you mentioned, have sweet precious Abigail.
I do. I have a three-month-old. They're a 13-week-old now. I've never really understood that. She's 3-ish months.
Okay.
So my sister got her my first Easter outfit.
Sure.
With a bunny on the butt.
Of course.
She didn't get me one. But
ever or this year?
This year.
Okay.
My old ones were in the wash. No. So we were able to go to church this morning before I came here. So it was very, very nice. It was a very, very nice Easter thus far, and now I'm hanging out with you.
Did the bunny come? The Easter bunny?
You know, it's funny, like, when you started to talk about that, because I think we're going to talk about this later, about parents and Easter. And,
yes.
Lauren and I guess it's one of those things that you have to sort of get used to. We completely didn't even think about it. Like, didn't even think about, oh, we should have, like, an Easter bunny. Like, the Easter bunny has skipped over our house.
Well, and that's okay, because at 3 months, you don't really grasp it.
Right.
The problem you guys run into, though... is there will be no pictures of her first Easter.
Well, we are...
Of her first basket.
Right. We're millennials, so there was pictures of her from the time she woke up, and there will be until the time she goes to bed.
Yes.
Her entire life is on a live stream.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can subscribe to that podcast.
Yes, and you can.
Dad for Life. No, but so it was a good Sunday. You did church. You did your family thing, which was great.
Yes.
But it wasn't... The Easter Bunny did not come this year.
No, I think we're going to wait. But it's one of those things where, there's no playbook for parenting where you mentioned it and I went, oh, yeah, I guess that's sort of... We got to call the Easter Bunny and make sure he comes to my house.
Yes, there is a list. You do need to get on.
I do.
It's not the 14-year Rick Geezer waiting list. That's different. But you have to register online. There's a website. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
The hospital should have provided it to you.
They should have, but it's okay.
That's all right. That's why I'm here. But coming up, we are going to talk right at the 2 o'clock hour, right after that news break. We're going to talk about if Easter has become mini Christmas. Not at your house, obviously.
Not at my house, no. Very mini Christmas.
But some families, Easter becomes a big deal because not only does the Easter Bunny come, but everybody provides Easter gifts and presents and stuff. And is it too much? So we're going to talk about that coming up. Also, we have some Lou Malnati's to give away later in the show. And here's the thing. We were talking about Easter egg hunts. I want to know the weirdest place you've ever found an egg. Not now. Not now. Think about this.
Yes.
Think through all the years. And, you know, July 4th weekend, you went, oh, my God, there's an egg.
Yes, yes.
How did we?
The latest, you hit it, you forgot about it.
How did we miss that one? And why did no fox eat it? And we're so lucky that the fox didn't eat the dog looking for the egg.
Right.
So, but just the weirdest place that you found that. And that'll be, again, after 2 o'clock. Coming up in a few minutes, though, we're going to talk about decision-making and negativity. Because this is a happy holiday. We're supposed to be happy about Easter.
Yes, exactly.
And so we need to get past all of that. Hannah Stanley filling in today on WGN for Frank Fontana. We'll be back right after this. Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana on WGN. I had to do it to the beat because we like this song. Okay. There is so much that we can talk about on this topic. Dr. Bradley Nelson will be joining me in 10 seconds. Author of The Emotion Code. You have heard about that book. You have heard him here on this show before. It is always nice to have him with us. Dr. Bradley Nelson, how are you?
Well, great, Hannah. How are you? Great to be on the show.
Thank you so much for joining me. Happy Easter to you, if you celebrate.
I do, and happy Easter to you, too, and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. So tell me about this. I really, when Ross, producer Ross, who's outstanding, when Ross was telling me that you were going to be on the show, I got so excited because I really feel that this is something that needs to be discussed more. I'm sure I don't have to tell you. You wrote books about this. but it's tell us how negativity can affect our decision-making and how we move through life.
Well, the fascinating thing is that when we talk about other people having emotional baggage, you know, we say things like that. Oh, that woman, she's just got a lot of emotional baggage, or that guy's got a lot of baggage. We say that not realizing that there is this profound truth in that statement, because we actually all have emotional baggage, right? We've all been through emotional experiences that we would rather not have had to go through. We've been through, some of us have been through divorce, and some of us have been through deaths in the family and breakups, and some of us were bullied as kids, and some of us have had difficult work situations and so on. Well, the reality of it is when we experience those intense emotions, the effect of that intense emotion can be emotional baggage. And one of the most important discoveries, I believe, in the age that we're living in now is that we have finally discovered that our emotional baggage is a real thing. It's an invisible thing, but it's a real thing. This emotional baggage exists as energies in the body, and that might sound kind of strange, but if you think about the human body itself, you know, you look at your hand and that hand looks pretty solid, and we see the hand and it's made of skin and bone and muscle and nerve and tissue and like the rest of our bodies. But if you were to magnify your hand a million times, you'd see that your hand really is made of energy. And the whole human body is made of energy. And when you're feeling an intense emotion, you're actually feeling a certain frequency of energy. Anger, for example, is a different vibration of energy, a different frequency than sadness, and every emotion is a little different. When you're feeling an intense emotion, what can happen is after that event is over, after the funeral is over, after the bully moves away, the divorce is finalized, etc., we tend to think that we've moved on, and sometimes we have, but sometimes we're carrying baggage from the emotional experiences that we've gone through. And the problem is, and what we're finding is that this emotional baggage deflects our lives from how we would really like to go. And in other words, our emotional baggage pushes us in these invisible, unseen seen direction. So, I mean, if you think about it, if there are, if there's an experience that you've been through in your life that just by thinking about it can bring tears to your eyes, I can guarantee you there's emotional baggage about that. And we have emotional baggage about all of these experiences in our lives, and the problem is that it ends up diminishing our lives. It ends up interfering. This baggage interferes with who we really want to become. It stops us from being able to really manifest the perfect creation that I believe lies within the heart of each one of us.
So, because this is reminding me of when you smell something, like on Thanksgiving morning, I wake up and I smell, you know, or I go into my parents' house and I smell my dad's stuffing and it brings back all of these great memories. This seems similar, but in a negative manner. How can we move past that? How do we shift that? Can we choose to move past it?
Well, you know, most of our lives make the choice to move past our baggage, and we try as hard as we can, and we struggle, and we read books, and we attend seminars and, you know, and conferences and things to try to learn how to overcome our baggage. Meanwhile, here's how to think of it. You can think of each person that you know as dragging a whole bunch of suitcases behind them full of rocks, you know, a bunch of Samsonite, and they're dragging all this luggage all through their lives. That's what our emotional baggage is like. And so we study and we watch videos and we learn how to live with our emotional baggage. But now suddenly we have a way to actually cut loose from that baggage so that it's not having to be dragged around anymore. You can actually get rid of your emotional baggage now. And that's what the emotion code is all about. And this is really, it's really a tremendous breakthrough, because what happens to people is when they're able to actually start releasing their baggage, not only do physical problems start to change and improve and get better. By the way, 90% of all the pain that people have, we find, is actually due to their emotional baggage. Think about that.
So I mean, it's actually really causing us physical pain is that we have pain. Negative thoughts and negative experiences that we're carrying on. We all need to sing Let It Go from Frozen. That's what we need.
Well, right. And I wish it were that easy. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Okay. But we have this very simple process called the emotion code that's almost that simple. And, you know, the fascinating thing about this, it really truly is the elephant in the living room in Western medicine, because our emotional baggage, you see, because we are beings of pure energy, when we have emotional baggage, it affects us in a number of different ways. It affects us physically. It does cause physical pain, but it also causes mental and emotional pain and malfunction. It's a fascinating thing. I had a conversation not too long ago with a woman who told me that she got the Emotion Code book and the book on audio, started reading it and listening to it. Her son started reading it and listening to it, and started working on his friends, and she didn't pay much attention. But a couple of weeks later, the phone rang. And the woman on the other end of the line identified herself as the mother of one of her son's friends. And she said, "My son has had a phobia of water all of his life, really severe. We've tried everything. Nothing's ever worked." She said, "Right now, my son is swimming in the pool with the other boys." She said, "Your son did this to him." She said, "I can't understand how this is possible. What in the world is he doing?" Well, those two boys are only 11 years old, see? And so the reality of it is it's time for us now in the 21st century to recognize that these bodies of ours are really bodies of pure energy, and our emotional baggage is energy. Those emotions that we feel, those are energy, and they can get stuck in the body, and now we have a way to get rid of those. And I'd like to give your listeners a free gift today for Easter, and that's a free copy of the Emotion Code, the book, and the book on audio, just by going to emotioncodegift.com. They can download it. It's a free gift, $67 value for them, and that way they can actually learn how to do this. It's really simple.
This is incredibly exciting. Dr. Bradley Nelson joining me today. The book is The Emotion Code. Give me that website, please, one more time.
Yes, it was emotioncodegift.com.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time and taking time on a holiday. Thank you again so much for joining me on WGN.
Thank you, Hannah. Happy Easter.
You as well. Hannah Stanley here filling in for Frank Fontana and WGN. We will be right back with Sarah Lemp next after this. I forgot how empowering the song is. I think I'm going to make it my alarm in the morning.
Absolutely.
This is fantastic. Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana. To the best of my knowledge, he will be back with you next Sunday.
Actually, April 10th. We're preempted next week.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. Next Sunday that the Hawks aren't.
Is there a Sunday in between? My mistake.
Yeah. Please.
It is. Is it? I think that's maybe the last regular.
I think it's the last regular.
No, the 9th is the. I don't know.
We'll ask the beat.
We will ask the beat. They'll be coming up at 3 o'clock today, and they're going to carry you through until your Chicago Blackhawks try to get an extra 2 points out of their West Coast trip in Canada. That was a big game last night.
Yeah, they look good.
So here's the reason we're playing Wonder Woman, and I was twirling in the studio, not like in the Grateful Dead manner, but in the Linda Carter manner. Joining me in studio is Sarah Lemp, actress and star of New Country, which is playing here in the Chicagoland area, and she is today's Wonder Woman. And Sarah, I'm so excited, and you have a nervous look on your face.
I do.
Why?
Because I'm terrified.
Okay. Now, see, this is so fascinating to me because you can put me, and this has happened. I've come in to fill in when I didn't know I was doing it, where I was sitting here and somebody didn't show up. And I was like, sure, I'll do 3 hours of radio with no prep. That's fine. Not a problem. And you can sing on a stage and act and do all kinds of things. Is it because here you are being you and on stage you're being someone else?
Absolutely. That's I've been told what to say. I've been told where to go.
You've practiced
I've
it.
I've been told how to say it. I've practiced it.
If we had done rehearsals for this interview, you'd be totally fine.
Possibly.
All right. I blame possibly. Ross for that. I could have come in earlier and we could have done rehearsals and you would have been far more comfortable. You mentioned also earlier that Wonder Woman holds a special place in your heart, and that is because?
That is because I used to have a Wonder Woman underoos that I wore with my roller skates, skating around the house.
And other clothing.
Okay. Eventually.
Underoos were a very fascinating thing. I believe they still exist.
Do they?
I think. I feel like they might.
They didn't disappear in the 80s?
I don't know. You know what also is back is Garanimals. Right?
Well, maybe they're making a resurgence.
No. Garanimals are and were the clothing that if you matched up like the giraffe top with the giraffe bottom, it coordinated.
Yep.
So it was fashion for really fashion challenged moms and dads.
Sure.
And kids for that matter. And so now they're like a thing again, Garanimals. And I wonder if I think underoos might have never really gone away.
Underoos.com. You can still buy them.
Thank you. See, this is why we love Ross.
Yeah.
Aside from the whole, like, dropping the ball in a rehearsal.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Easter. It always throws him off. But underoos. So, see, now you can still go get your Wonder Woman underoos.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that and see if I can get some underoos and roller skates.
So you can feel empowered. Like,
so I can feel empowered like Linda Carter.
Yes, next time you do. And now she's Wonder Woman is now in the new Batman versus Superman movie.
That's right.
I haven't seen it, but I hear she was like kind of a tough cookie in the movie. Not the phrase I want to use.
Well, I would expect her to be that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she doesn't suck. So tell me about this play, because you were in New Country in New York, mm-hmm. and then you came with the production to Chicago, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to work on it again. It's we have used Chicago actors, with the exception of myself and Mark in the rest of the cast. So, and they're fantastic. So, getting a second chance to do something is always really, really great.
And New Country is written by one of the writers for Mike and Molly.
He was the creator of Mike and Molly, yeah.
Which is incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how would you classify New Country?
I would say it's... I would say it's probably a drama wrapped in some really funny jokes.
Okay, so dramedy? Would we go dramedy?
Comedic drama.
Oh.
How's that?
All right. Yeah, because Mike and Molly's comedy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Through and through.
Which, with of course, Melissa McCarthy, mm-hmm. Chicago-based, mm-hmm. who's incredibly hilarious, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. love her. And this is their final season, so this is exciting to have you guys here. How long did you run in New York?
I want to say we ran for 8 weeks.
Which in New York is a big deal.
It's a good size run.
Does it remain? It's okay. So then it's left New York and come here,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then you moved with the production. Mm-hmm. There was no gap.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, actually, we closed last May in New York, and then so we had like I don't know what that is, 6 months or so. We started in February here, so
okay. Enough of a time.
A little bit of a break.
Move the production, cast the show, mm-hmm. and then...
redesign it. It's been redesigned. The set is completely different this time around. It's an alley set, so you've got audience on two sides.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So it's pretty cool.
Tell me how... was the set more traditional in the New York production?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Now, tell me, if you would please, the differences, because here in Chicago, we have a lot of different theater spaces.
Yeah.
And where you guys are, which is up off of Milwaukee, or mm-hmm. on Milwaukee, rather, mm-hmm. that is, you can do a lot more. It's not a traditional theater where the stage is in front.
Right, right. It's not a traditional theater where the stage is in front. And the seating is mobile in that space, I believe. So they've been able to reconfigure it where audience is sitting on either side of the playing space, so it really focuses the actor's energy, their intentions, because there's nowhere for you
there's
to
no
hide.
There's no backstage.
There's no place to hide.
Now, all right. When you had you been in New York for a while before the production?
Yes.
How long had you? Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Kansas, and I've been in New York since 2000.
And when did you, or your theater major, and then moved to New York?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I went to a small liberal arts university in Kansas, and then moved to New York to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which is a conservatory there, 2-year program, and then a 3-year company. So I did that and stayed.
And then you began working outside mm-hmm. of that production mm-hmm. company, and
yeah.
then now are here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Tell me the difference in Chicago audiences versus New York, aside from the staging, which I get is very different.
I find Chicago audiences seem to be more enthusiastic. They seem to be a little bit more engaged and game. I feel like sometimes in New York there's a bit of a distancing and a critical eye always towards something, as opposed to just I'm going in to watch this for an experience, to have a good time or whatever. Yeah.
So the New York audiences are trying to figure out how they're going to critique it so their friends don't think they're foolish.
Probably.
And Chicagoans are like, go, it's a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You take your friends, you like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how long have you been here? You started in?
We started in February, so I got here in the middle of January.
Oh, enjoy.
Yeah
that was nice for you.
It was lovely. It was like 20 below.
Although you've been in New York for over a decade, and now then you were from Kansas, which is not...
It's not exactly warm or...
No. Where in Kansas?
A small town called Ottawa, which is like an hour south of Kansas City.
Okay. So, yeah, you're still... I mean, it's not the crazy winter here, but mm-hmm. they still shut down highways of snow.
Yeah. And wind.
And this is a lovely day.
This is beautiful.
I know. It really hasn't been that bad of a winter.
No. That's what I keep hearing.
That's what we keep telling ourselves. All right. Sarah Lemp is joining me. She is in the new play, New Country. It's new to Chicago, at least. And, of course, you can get more information. I will put that link up. It is at newcountrytheplay.com. We are going to take a quick break and be right back with Sarah and me, Hannah Stanley, filling in for Frank Fontana on WGN.
My favorite heroes are Wonder Woman and my mama.
Underoos. They even come out heroes against warm water and detergents.
It's almost like that was planned. The editing prowess of Ross Cochran. Hannah Stanley getting to work with Ross. I've never worked with you.
No, it's first time for everything.
This is neat and fun and exciting. And
whenever I do something like that, I always imagine someone who's just turning on the radio now being really confused why we're talking about underoos.
I had just turned on the radio, and I'm filling in for Frank Fontana. If you're wondering where Frank is, he's off. And I'm here with you until 3 o'clock, and then the guys from the beat will be here and we'll carry you through till the Chicago Blackhawks pregame with Judd Surratt. I tuned in today on my drive in from, let's say, Iowa, really far west, and Dean said something about, they were talking about being a GPS voice. And I was a little confused, and Dean, because he's Dean and is amazing, explained it to those who had just tuned in. So I will do the same. We were talking about Wonder Woman. This is the Wonder Woman segment. Sarah Lemp is here with me, actress who is in New Country, which is playing in the Chicago area now. We're going to give out that information in just a moment. But Wonder Woman, you had Wonder Woman underoos. And so now we realize that underoos are still purchasable. And... had we only known, they would have possibly been something I would have asked the Easter Bunny to give my kids.
We bring the hard-hitting news here for, on WGN Radio.
312-981-7200. If you have comments or texts, that is our phone or text line. You can reach us all of those different ways. Tell me a little bit more about New Country so people know when they're going. They say, she sounds gosh darn delightful. I want to go see that. What is it?
New Country is a play about a country music star, Justin Spears, the night before his wedding. And his managers, Paul and Chuck, are sort of wrangling and putting out fires. And for the party, Justin's Uncle Jim, who is a hog farmer from Kentucky, is joining the crew. And I play Sharon, who's his scorned ex-fiance.
Why do country singers always have some storyline in their life that is involved the word scorned? That's always the
it's
thing.
It's a good word.
I've watched like 12 minutes of Nashville, and every minute has somebody scorned. Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And so this plays out with you being scorned?
It plays out with her coming to confront him after... After being scorned.
And therein lies the plot.
Therein lies a little nugget.
Okay, so this is incredibly... now I'm intrigued because you said the word scorned. I was intrigued before because I like you. And now I'm intrigued because I think it's something that we just don't get enough scorned in our lives. It is newcountrytheplay.com where you can see our new friend Sarah Lemp starring as the scorned lover because those words seem to go together. So you said that you went, you had your liberal arts education in Kansas, mm-hmm. and then you went to New York, mm-hmm. and you did drama school, mm-hmm. continuing education in drama, mm-hmm. which of course brings us to the Actors Studio, because those of us who are not actors go immediately, we just assume that's where everybody goes to school. And you just wander past James Lipton in the hallway and hope to not, you know, make eye contact with him.
Right.
Because he's a little intimidating.
Yeah, he is.
And I said this to you off air, and you explained to me that you have, in fact, been to a taping of the Actors Studio.
I had. A friend of mine, because you can only go to a taping if you are either a member of the Actors Studio or you're with a member of the Actors Studio. So
it's very
I went,
exclusive.
It is. It's a club.
Velvet so rope. Yeah.
I went with my friend who is a member of the studio, and Bryan Cranston was being interviewed, and this was right before... Trumbull came out, and but after
and
hour
Malcolm
three,
in the Middle, after Malcolm in the Middle,
after
sure.
Malcolm in the Middle, and after
well respected
the third hour of sitting there listening to these two guys talk.
I'm sorry, three hours. Oh, sure.
I said I have to go.
I have to pee,
and I'm hungry. I need a snack.
Now, are there breaks, or it's just 3 hours?
It was three continuous hours. Yeah,
and it kept going.
It kept going.
All right, now, there are a Meryl Streep, I can imagine, 3-4 hours. And I get, James Lipton walks in with, you know, like a stack of cards as tall as me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not short. I'm pretty average height. So does he use all of them?
I would imagine he does.
This is, But again, it was Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much depth of his work, and that's why I made the Malcolm in the Middle joke.
Right.
But it's not a Robert Redford or a Dustin Hoffman or right. I don't even know why I put – yeah, Robert Redford's. Yeah, we'll go with him.
He's been around for a long time.
And he was the natural. Come on, Roy Hobbs. I mean, he had to study for that role. but Dustin Hoffman, Meryl Streep, Maggie Smith, those are people where I could see, like, dig in because we are not moving.
Yeah.
We got to get to the bottom of this genius.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston was 3 hours.
Yeah. And then maybe
how long did you find out how long it actually when it wrapped?
I didn't.
You didn't care.
I didn't care at that point. but you know, he's a great actor. He had a lot of interesting things to say. It was just, you know, I had to get on with my life.
Did you learn anything from it? From his method and his
he said something that I thought was really lovely, and that is when he started looking at auditioning and the auditioning process differently, which is a horrible, horrible process. But when he started looking at it as an opportunity to show your work as opposed to being judged for your work, then things started to change for him.
Oh, see, like our first guest with the emotion code, mm-hmm. if you come into it with a more positive spin, it's not, you put that energy out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And did that then change how you looked at it?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a really good point.
Like,
but
hey,
now
I'm
hungry.
Good. Yeah, now I got to go. I'm taking that nugget and I'm walking out.
Yeah,
there. It does seem like that would be a way, like, hey, you guys get to watch me do this because I'm mm-hmm. pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not so pick me.
Right, right. Then you're not in a position of submission.
Right. Well, we're going to do a couple of the final. If you've not seen the Actor's Studio, we're going to do a couple of the questions every episode at hour 7 or 8, at least. This is James Lipton always ends with these final questions that he's drawn from someone else in ancient Greece. I have no idea. Number one, what is your favorite word?
Well, now it's scorned.
Mine too. What is your least favorite word? Lover. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like that word now.
It's kind of icky.
Yeah.
Lots of people say moist.
I don't like, yeah. Anything with the O-I.
Okay. Coin.
Oh, yeah. That's not too bad.
All right.
But
I'm just happy I came
gross.
Up with one. Moist is gross. Okay. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Peace and quiet.
Mm. What turns you off?
Noise.
Another OI word. Okay. What sound or noise do you love?
I like the sound of a Zippo lighter.
The scrapey part of it?
The opening of the... Yeah.
Neat.
I like that sound.
And not heard as often as it used to be.
Yeah.
That used to be a thing. What sound or noise do you hate? Silence?
Silence.
Okay. All right. We will close with this one. And we, of course, cannot say this, but you can tell me like the blank word, like the S word or whatever mm-hmm. it would be. What is your favorite curse word?
The F word.
All right. Sarah Lemp, you can find her on stage starring as the scorned character in New Country, and it is at newcountrytheplay.com, and you can find more information on her at sarahmarielemp.com. Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, it was a thrill to get to meet you. It is Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana. We will be back right after this, and then we'll get you to the news at the top of the hour.
1, 2, 3, 4. Care that tomorrow is Easter, Christmas is number one. I don't care about colored eggs, Christmas toys are more fun. I don't care about marshmallow peeps, Cadbury bun, it gives me the creeps. I wish it was Christmas today, 262 days away.
Hannah Hannah Stanley filling in today for the Frank Fontana Show. I am happy to be with you until the 3 o'clock hour when the guys from the beat are going to be in, and then they will carry you through to the Chicago Blackhawks game. Before we get into this content, I do want to mention something. The Chicago Blackhawks are doing something great, as they always do, but this time in conjunction with the Minnesota Wild. They've united in support of Matt Olson, who's a Minnesota native, but sustained a spinal cord injury last month while he was playing junior hockey for the Chicago Cougars. Both the Wild and the Blackhawks have donated several one-of-a-kind experiences, including rare opportunities like traveling on their respective team planes to a road game. How that would just be amazingly, ridiculously awesome. And you get to be a quote-unquote player for the day. You can find the link to get you to the right place to bid in the auction at wgnradio.com/events. I don't know if it's a forward or a backslash. They just said slash.
Yeah, usually forward, but you never know.
Don't know which one that is.
Wait, usually backward. Usually backward.
Right, do that. Auction bids are accepted through noon on Wednesday, March 30th. So the time it is a pressing. Let's do this. Go to wgnradio.com/events and find out how you can bid in the auction and donate to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page. Really a stand-up organization.
Yeah,
I'm so proud
best.
That we're associated with them.
They are the best. Did you see the latest What's Your Goal with the senior citizens?
Yes, and I heard Steve Cochran talking with Q the other day about Evelyn.
Yes.
Eleanor? Evelyn.
Eleanor.
Eleanor.
Eleanor came on.
Who said you can't say that to us.
Yes.
When Koji got tied, it was tied, and they were done, and he said, next school wins it, it's sudden death. And she looked at Kitch and said,
he can't say that to this group.
It's awesome. You can hear that interview at WGNradio.com on the podcast under the Steve Cochran Show. So, people, it's Easter. If for those who are celebrating Easter, this is a big deal. It is a big religious day. The meaning behind Easter is very powerful and important. Is it as important as Christmas, though, as far as the gift-giving holiday status goes? Because it really, as I was scrolling through this morning on the Facebook, which seems to be something that many people do, parents included, the kids were done with the baskets, and I was like, okay, let me just veg for 2-3 minutes. And everybody was, you know, showing the baskets and showing their kids playing with things. And even some people were saying hashtag mini Christmas. Has this become a mini Christmas? 312-981-7200. I welcome calls and text. And here, I get that the Easter Bunny is in charge of the baskets. I know that.
Right.
That's how we roll. I need you, if you can, to text in or call in with what you guesstimate. I mean, people know what things cost. Guess and tell me what you think, sort of the ballpark on what the Easter Bunny spent on each basket. I'd like to know.
From the 574, yes.
Yes, it is. I will tell you, my Easter Bunny toned it down this year.
He did. Or she did, excuse me.
My Easter Bunny is a she. My kids refer to, and I know she or he cannot get to all of the places. So it's a cooperative group of Easter Bunnies. But it was not crazy town. It wasn't, I was very pleased. And the kids described it as best Easter ever. They were both very excited with the things that the Easter Bunny had brought. And the other thing is, we didn't do any supplemental gifts. I know you didn't, sweet precious Abigail.
We didn't know baskets. We did nothing.
No, because you had to sign up. Because there's a schedule comes out.
Yeah,
it's a thing. It's like garbage pickup.
There.
You've got to get on that list.
I do.
Or they skip your house.
Right. And that's what happened.
They didn't know.
I mean, how are we supposed to know?
No, I mean, the hospital should really do that. When you get, you know, the Social Security card.
Right.
Like, we've already filed for that. Here's your birth certificate. You just have to go to the county.
Here's all the holidays.
And here's the holidays. And
here's the Tooth Fairy registration.
Yeah. They didn't. They didn't do that.
They were great, but they missed that.
Right. But it's a whole union thing that
Illinois doesn't have a budget right now. It's
right,
a whole mess.
Right. And so the hospitals are like, we got to cut that category of help. But I'm glad you mentioned the Tooth Fairy, because the Tooth Fairy is another, we actually had the Tooth Fairy on, 2-3 years ago when I hosted a show that she was here. But her fairy voice, too meek. You couldn't hear her on the microphone.
Oh, that's too bad.
It was all right. We got the point across. But it's very interesting, because celebrities now are talking about how the Tooth Fairy will leave $20 a tooth, which is insane.
Yeah, that's a steep tooth.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of teeth.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
My tooth fairy, middle class tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Not, she doesn't roll in the big neighborhoods.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the union dues.
Right.
Yeah.
And there for a while it was malpractice because she got miscategorized as dental. It was really
the whole thing.
Yeah. So tell me what you think the Easter Bunny spent. A text from 630 is saying averaging $50 each on baskets.
Now, I guess, you know, because I'm new to this whole parent thing. The thing that I, you know, if you're going to make this mini Christmas, are you making it mini Christmas because your relative is making it mini Christmas? Are you making it mini Christmas because your friend, you know, your kid's friend's parents make it mini Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
oh, so you were keeping up with the Joneses.
Right. Or are you just making it mini Christmas because that's what you want to do? It's important to you. Because that, you know, more power to you, I guess, if you want to spend.
Yeah, and
I would go $50. That's way, I'm not going to spend that on Easter with my kid.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's in addition to the basket. And so, for, like I was saying, for us, we just, the Easter Bunny brought the baskets and that was it. Steve and I didn't, we didn't go out and do anything. Easter Bunny's responsible for Easter. Maybe that's arrogant. I don't know. Maybe the Easter Bunny's going to be really annoyed with me for saying that.
Maybe. She might have a bone to pick with you.
she might. But it for me, I didn't want the kids to think that if they don't get it for Christmas, they just have to wait 2 or 3 months and then they'll get, you know, the $200 Lego set. That's
right.
Not what the Easter Bunny is all about.
No. No. The Easter Bunny is not about that, about a... You know, and then if they don't get it for Christmas, they can, or Easter, they can just wait a couple more months.
And then it's a birthday,
right.
Or it's, you know, at what point does Halloween become a gift-giving occasion?
Soon enough.
Memorial Day. That's a concern for me, is that this is just becoming, you know, like, we're hallmarking everything.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, very, very hardcore hallmarking. Not just, oh, you should do this nice thing. Like, no, you have to have a party with it, and you have to have your own individual Easter Bunny. I mean, that's where the Easter Bunny is going to come. They're all over their houses. They're all outsourced. You know, it's a busy day for bunnies.
It's a busy day. But I just didn't know if I was in the minority by not providing additional stuff for Easter. Because I grew up with baskets, and I think I grew up with a brand new dress, and I didn't do that. I didn't get my daughter a brand new dress. She has Easter dresses. They're very cute. My mom got her Easter dresses. So tell me if you would, people, 312-981-7200, where the weirdest place you found an egg is. So if you do the outside Easter hunts, and you know what, around here, it's not necessarily always easy to hide those eggs outside. I get it. Sometimes we have snow on the ground. That happens.
Yes, regularly.
Denver had a blizzard the other day. Shut down the airport.
Yep.
So if you have been able to do that, and then all of a sudden you're mowing the lawn mid-July, and you find an egg and go, oh gosh darn it, that fell in the window well.
Right.
How the heck did that happen? 312-981-7200. Text those in, please. We are going to be giving away Lumel Nadies. Hannah Stanley filling in, and that's, by the way, the Lumel Nadies giveaway sound.
Yes.
I don't have a sounder for that. Hannah Stanley filling in on WGN for Frank Fontana. More after this.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. Every day I
Hannah Stanley, this is the Frank Fontana Show on WGN. Happy Easter for those who are celebrating. And I hope you're having a good day, even if you're not. I will be with you for the next 36 minutes and so seconds until the guys from the beat come in and carry you through until Judd Surratt takes over for Chicago Blackhawks pregame there in Vancouver tonight. And boy, it would be nice to walk away with another, or skate away with another 2 points. That will definitely help. Speaking of negativity, like our first guest, man, I was starting to get a little worried about this season. They restored my faith last night. Oh, ye of little faith, Hannah Stanley. Hey, we've got a call on the phone. I was asking for the strangest place you found an egg. Where have you found an egg? In your house, in your yard, in your neighbor's yard? Where is the weirdest place you found an egg? Sherry, you're on WGN.
Well, 5 years after my mother quit hiding eggs for us, I found one under my bed.
How old were you?
I think I was 16.
And so it had been hidden under your bed. You hadn't put it there for safekeeping?
No, it was just under my bed. My parents are really good at hiding stuff.
I found
a Christmas present I got, like 10 years afterwards. They had hidden it in our drop basement or the drop ceiling downstairs.
Oh, geez.
And they forgot about it. And my dad was removing the tiles from the drop ceiling, and he found one of my Christmas presents, like 15 years later.
You're like, hey, I knew you always wanted the Erector set. Here you go.
Well, it was a good thing that it was one of the eggs that, you know, had candy in it as opposed to a hard-boiled one.
Yeah, and those Tootsie Rolls never go bad. So you were good to eat.
It had a $5 bill in it, so that was even better, but... Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like fantastic. Hang on the line so that Ross can get some information. 5 years and under your bed. One, your parents are very good hiders. And two, you're very bad at cleaning out under your bed. So,
yes, I am.
Yeah. All right. Well, good for you on both counts because nobody looks. Nobody looks there. All right. Thanks for your call. Keep coming. Keep them coming because I love these stories. I like when people go, we were moving and we found one. It had gone underneath the hockey goal that we hadn't used anymore. Texts are coming in about the Easter baskets. Apparently the Easter bunny is anywhere from 25 to 35 on average. And then some are supplementing and some are not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the supplementing for me really is where I would draw the line. Like if you're going to do a basket, you know, cause then you can decide how big of a basket you want, but to add something extra on it to me seems like a lot, but I'm 3 months into the parent thing. I'm not signed up on any of the email listservs or the regular listservs. So
no, we're going to do that. We're going to do that later. I
appreciate you giving me onboarding.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to send you the invites. It's all on Facebook, but they're hidden pages. So,
right.
So the kids don't find them.
Because Facebook, that's where all the parents are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why kids don't do it anymore. But it really is very interesting. I like giving my kids gifts. I do. I think it's great when they get all excited and like, oh, this is great. But I the Easter Bunny takes care of it, in my opinion.
Amen.
So, I think it's great. I love it. If you're able and you want to do that, then that's awesome. I think it's great to see kids go crazy. And maybe that's why the parents are like, if we can do this again and have the kids freak out and then we can be on America's Funniest Home Videos because they lost their mind. Because they got Lego undercover video game. I don't know. I don't even know what you would give.
I don't either.
But I will tell the story about why I know what Lego undercover is. We don't have a gaming system.
Okay.
At all. And my kids are both really into Legos, and they watch videos of the games online.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Yep.
And they also watch toys being put together. Like my kids will research Lego sets and watch them being built before they ask for them.
Oh, that makes sense. That's very well thought out.
It is really. They do a lot of research and I think it's great. So when they ask, they're like, I don't know, this one's not really worth it. So I'm going to ask for this one instead. And I think it's great. So the other day we're driving to the Target and Katrina and the Waves comes on the air. We were not at that point listening to WGN. My apologies to whoever was on. I think it was a commercial or something.
Yeah,
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fine commercials. I'm digging myself into a deeper hole. So Katrina and the Waves come on and my kids both went, ooh, turn that up. And I went, okay. And they're singing along. This is, of course, Walking on Sunshine, because as far as I know, they didn't record another song that charted. And so they said, do you know what this song is from? As they're singing along. And I said, yes, the 80s.
Right.
And they were like, no, it's from Lego City Undercover, this game that they've never played.
Wow.
It was very strange.
That is interesting.
And that's why they didn't get it for Easter for me.
But I like your kids' research department to decide what's the best gift or not.
They do. Here is our PowerPoint presentation on why we do want this Lego set. Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana. We'll be right back and get you the news after this. Stanley, I'm filling in for the next two segments for Frank Fontana, and then we've got one heck of a program. It's called The Beat, and they will be with you until they turn you over to Judd Surratt for your Chicago Blackhawks pregame. Very exciting stuff from them, and very exciting stuff in studio with me. Dr. Evelyn Hayworth joins me, and you know, we were talking about this, and we're talking about back pain. This is why you're here. But we were talking about how with Frank and myself, we do gardening, and there's home improvement stuff, and all kinds of painting. I'm actually going to go home and paint cabinets today.
Wonderful. But and then so, you need my device to fix yourself from what you did to you.
That's exactly it. And we were talking about building Legos. I set off on this mission to rebuild all of my daughter's Legos and my son's Legos because they break them apart and make custom things. And that's great. I like the creativity, except for sometimes they do it wrong. And so I've been sitting on the floor a lot, rebuilding and bent over. And so back pain is something that I understand, I have experienced, and I am kind of used to it. It's not something I want to be used to. And Dr. Evelyn is here with me talking about the True Align body system, which is very interesting. I'm going to try it during the break, too.
Excellent.
This is neat, but it's 10 pounds. It's something you can carry with you. And it's not medicine. It's not drugs. It's
powered by gravity.
You lay there. And it reminds me of when you go to the chiropractor and you lay on the table on your stomach.
Good thinking.
Tell me, because I always relax when I'm there, because your head is down and it's in a line with your spine. Because
yes.
They have that opening for your face. Tell me how you came up with this product.
Well, one day, four patients in a row came in, and I could tell by the way their necks and lower back was out that they had slept on their stomach. And that's one of the things I teach my patients. Please don't sleep on your stomach. You got to breathe. So you're going to turn your head way too far one way, and then that hip, that's going to come up on the same side. All four of them said, yeah, doc, I'm so sorry. You caught me. But I wake up that way. I'm sleeping. I don't mean to have it happen. Mm-hmm. Then the fifth person was a pregnant lady, and long story short, she said, if only I could sleep on my stomach. Mm-hmm. So that night, I was inspired. I was going to invent a face-down sleep system. Within 2 weeks of the process, I'm really having a ball. I'm making drawings. I bought every kind of pillow and cushion, and I'm putting them in different ways under my body and experimenting. One day I'm exhausted. I fall asleep. I wake up. I have way too much under the pelvis, mm-hmm. and my back pops in. Now, you have to understand, it's very hard to align my lower back.
Okay.
It's been very difficult for me. I've seen numerous chiropractors, and I was using an inversion table, mm-hmm. which helped, but it never really fixed me.
And that's where you put your feet up in the air.
Yes,
okay.
When you're hanging
you
upside
backwards.
Down.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. But this therapy is even more effective because while it's pulling you apart, it's reshaping the normal curves. So when this happened to me, I thought, oh, my God, this is not a face-down sleep system. This is a body orthotic, something that will realign and decompress the spine. And then once I perfected it, it came rather quickly. We discovered out of vanity when I changed the face piece so that it wouldn't make wrinkles, not only it did a facelift, but it aligned the jaw. And that can be key. We learned in a continuing education course about the jaw that you can tell by how somebody walks, by their gait, if their jaw is out of alignment. So
what?
Obviously it's key. Of course it makes sense. It goes along with the neck.
I just my hands immediately went up to the TMJ area and I'm pressing because I have tension there.
A lot
keep
of people
some tension
do.
In my
in
jaw.
Fact, we Kelly and I. We in fact, Kelly just walked in. My
which is
lovely
her husband.
Husband.
Yes,
he was parking.
Yes, I'm going to turn your microphone on so people can hear you, Kelly. This is fascinating. You walked in, and the container for this item is it's like a tote bag.
That's right.
Maybe 2-3 feet across. half a foot or a foot, maybe 12 inches.
Yeah, about a foot by a foot by 2 feet. Yeah, so it's 2 cubic feet.
And it's light. This is, and I said you could travel with this.
Yes.
You could either carry it on an airplane or you could throw it easily in the back of your car. And so this is something you could use. I have a text from 574 who says, as a truck driver, what do I do? Because, of course, they're seated all day.
Right. Oh, this is great for people like truck drivers that are sitting all day. Unfortunately, we're highly plastic people, mm-hmm. so we take the shape that we sit in often. Mm-hmm. So this helps restore. You're supposed to have a nice little curve going forward in your lower back. Unfortunately, we're all becoming sad seas, and especially a truck driver, not only he's in that bad position, but he's being jarred.
Right, there would be some jostling.
So
our highways aren't
together.
What they're supposed to be always.
So this is great for truck drivers because even if they have that little space, they can do their Trualign,
and
even
so they,
in their back cab.
In their back cab, they could lay it out. And what it is, and we will put pictures up online, and as I mentioned, I'm going to try this, but what it is are a few pieces of equipment, and that's a bigger word than it needs to be.
Foam.
Yeah,
foam.
I mean, it's a high-density, low-compression foam.
And you lay on top of it, and it allows you to be comfortable in a face-down position.
That's
right. So that your body can relax and not have the same pressures and effects of gravity that you would if you were standing. And I have to ask you, because this is a thing now with ergonomic workstations and everything, and for a while everybody was using the exercise balls because it was really good for their core, and then now everybody's using standing workstations.
Which is brilliant, because it's good to be changing positions.
Okay, like, so it's good to have multiple positions.
Oh, yeah, that's a brilliant
thing. Yeah, movement's key for a lot of things.
I love that. That's a great device.
Okay.
What ours does is it undoes what gravity has done to you. We use gravity for good instead of evil.
All right. All right. So then tell me where people can find out more information about this, because everybody has had back pain. It's unfortunate, but we all have.
Well, the easy way to remember is fixyourachingback.com.
That is easy to remember.
And then they could also, our company is Caecilia, Caecilia. But fixyourachingback.com, all run together, that's the easiest.
And
it'll go to our website.
Tell me how much this is something that people can purchase and how long this can be used for.
Yes, we have it on special. It's a retail of $495. We are selling it for $395 online.
Which people, you would spend that at a chiropractor and just...
And it doesn't take long.
It doesn't take long at all. So this is a great option.
It is 100% money back guaranteed. If you go online, you'll see nothing negative. That's because nobody's mad at us. If you don't like it, you get your money back. And also, I would like to mention, if anybody that's in the Naperville area, we're going to be there next weekend at a home and garden show.
At the Players Indoor Sports Center.
That's, you know what, how I love that we have so many events like this, because you guys can be places and we can, home and garden shows are just fantastic.
Oh, yes, it's a lot of do-it-yourselfer and gardeners. They
and
need us.
And people who have aching backs,
yes.
Like me later tonight when I'm done with these cabinet painting. This is really, really fun and exciting for people who do have this or want to prevent this kind of back pain. They can do this each and every day.
Yes.
And just level yourself all out. Like I said, I'm going to try this during the break, but Dr. Evelyn Hayward, thank you so much for your time. It is fixyourachingback.com.
Well done.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Hannah Stanley, more on the Frank Fontana Show right after this on WGN.
Hannah Stanley here. This is the International Home and Houseware Show at McCormick Place here in Chicago, and I am happy, more than happy, I'm downright excited to bring my next guest to you. Daniel Weiner is here talking to me about Juicepresso. Not only did I happen to be walking by and tasted the juice, but then I didn't have this interview booked. I said, this product is so good, we must talk about it. Daniel, welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell me about Juicepresso, because I am beyond impressed, and here's why. It's incredibly compact, and it's incredibly quiet. How does this work?
Well, that's one of the secrets of our success so far. Look, juicing's blowing up all over the country right now. I live in Los Angeles. There's a juice shop on every corner. But buying juices is very expensive, $9, $10 a juice. If you have a family, it's just not economically feasible. So it's important to start juicing at home to enjoy the health benefits. And traditionally, people have done a couple things. They bought a loud, old-fashioned juicer. that woke up the house, it shook the foundation, or they bought a blender that kind of did the same thing. And unfortunately, people are learning smoothies are not juices. And those smoothies may be a nice meal replacement on occasion. You're not going to get 8 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables in a smoothie. You're going to get 1 to 2 and a lot of ice and a lot of air and some agave. But juicing is a little more healthy. So what's popular right now is cold-pressed juicing. And just like you see it on your olive oil bottle, cold-pressing means that you are not using, you know, anything cold or frigid. You're actually not creating any heat in the process. So if something moves very fast, like an old-fashioned machine, 12, 15,000 RPMs, it creates heat, friction, and it whips oxygen into the juice, so it oxidizes it, which causes the juice to begin to die within as little as 15 to 20 minutes. So if you want to make enough juice for a few days, you're kind of drinking store-bought off-the-shelf juice after 2 or 3 days. When you drink cold press, it's generally good and fully bioavailable for 72 hours.
All right, and not only is that the thing, but when you're using it like with a blender, there's so much more prep involved, because I watched the girls, and they happen to be women who were demoing it, but the women who were demoing it, they were taking orange slices with the rind still on it. They were using ginger that still had the peel in it, and that's my problem, is I don't want to sit there and peel the ginger and take the lemon out of the rind. It's just such a pain. This simplified it.
Generally, the only thing you really have to concern yourself with juicing is you do need to cut in pieces into smaller pieces. So maybe I quarter an apple, depending on the size, or into sixes. That's about it. Now, that does two things. Some people say, oh, I don't even want to do any of that work. You will get more juice out of almost any juicer if you cut it up. And let's face it, more juice equals financial savings for you. So with our machine, another advantage of cold-pressed juice machines, whether it's ours or competitors, they generally give you up to 40% more juice than old-fashioned juicers, because they slowly press and get all of the juice out, and they expel the pulp. But here's the great thing. We have all these great recipes. Don't throw the pulp out. We've got recipes for carrot cake if you make carrot juice, zucchini bread if you juice zucchinis, soup, stews, baby food even, which you can make in that. And you brought up one thing before. It's about convenience. What we've tried to do is remove all the negative stigma with juicing. So we made it quieter. As you said, it's a smaller footprint. What we did was we used a DC motor. Now, I didn't know anything about DC AC motors until I got into this business, but it's a more powerful, smaller motor. So you get more torque, but it doesn't have to be a big, giant appliance on your countertop. But our big thing, thing that makes us, in my opinion, the holy grail of juicing is I hated cleaning up juicers. The juicer my grandma gave me had 8 parts to clean up. Then I got my first cold press. It had 3 or 4 parts. We only have 1 part to clean up. It cleans up in 30 seconds. So when you're done juicing, rinse it off. If that's too much work, toss it in your dishwasher. It's all dishwasher safe.
I am looking at it. I will post pictures online as well. It is called Juicepresso. It is by
Coway,
and you can find that website,
JuicePressoUSA.com.
JuicePressoUSA.com. Like I said, I will put that link up with photographs as well. I am not kidding. This is probably the most excited I've been about a product in a really, really long time. It is whisper quiet. And like you said, it goes in the dishwasher. Yeah. Thrilling. Daniel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's great talking to you.
More after this on WGN. And WGN filling in for Frank Fontana. The last time I was in studio with Mark Carmen, I think it was the middle of the night.
It was so great.
Making me do jumping jacks.
I was going to say, did you want to do some jumping jacks? Because I walked in here today and you're laying in some prone position with different padding and whatever else. It was very compromising.
Right, which seemed like I was slacking, but it was all for the good of the show.
I didn't think you were slacking.
Sure.
I just didn't know what you were doing. You would never slack, Hannah. You're the hardest working Hannah I know.
The
I feel like I missed something.
Yeah, Adam, you did not walk in. But there's a video. We did a video.
I'll have to check it out.
And what it is it's the True Align system, the True Align body system. And I'm not kidding. I keep a lot of tension in my shoulders and in my jaw. And I didn't realize what was going on by the time I actually finally relaxed, because your body's kind of like, this is very awkward and people are looking at me and I don't know what's going on. And there was a crowd. It's Michigan Avenue. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio. No. And then finally I was like, okay, no, I can chill. I can let this, you know, you actually tell your muscles to relax, let it go.
You ever done breath work? Nice solid breathe into the parts of your body where you hold the tension?
Yes. And then
it's amazing,
tell
right?
it to go. Like, you can let that go. It's very frozen.
Have somebody push on it. Next thing you know, you're releasing. All of a sudden, you're in your emotions. Everything's changing.
This is very similar, but you just lay there. It's awesome.
That sounds even better.
I know. It's lazy man's chiropractic.
Perfect for me.
Or lazy girls for me. So you guys have a show coming up on the beat.
We do.
Yeah, we talk about sports. And I don't know if you know this, Hannah. There's a rule in Chicago that at any given time, there has to be at least one of the five major sports franchises in the city self-destructing right before
right.
our very
even,
eyes.
Even the day before and after the All-Star break
yes.
during baseball, which nothing yeah. happens those days except for terrible trades or all kinds of different random things.
We've got a crisis,
scandals.
Hannah.
What's what?
Full crisis.
Worse than my brackets.
Mm.
Bracket. I did one.
Who did you have winning it all?
Texas A&M.
Okay, you were the only one that had Texas A&M winning it all, but that's I like that boldness.
But that's why it was strategic.
Well,
right. Everyone else had Kansas and Michigan State. How'd
exactly,
that work?
Exactly, or Wisconsin, or whatever. And I was like, yeah, no, I've got to pick somebody who's not crazy. They could do it, and number three could do it.
Yeah.
But
I didn't mean,
no one, if they did it, no one else around me.
I like what you're doing. Everything about
you. There was
you.
A logic. I also might be an Aggie.
Okay.
Now
we got to the core.
Now this is what happened with John Williams last
yeah.
week when
Giggum.
He had Butler in the Final Four.
Giggum. Yeah, no, see, I mean, at least I was a three. We're a three seed.
Yeah.
Now, the Chicago Bulls lost to a horrible Orlando Magic team last night, 111-89. They're going to miss the playoffs. This has been an epic disaster of epic proportions, and we're going to have an epic conversation about it. That's three epics, now four. Epic. Five.
Five.
Starting five. Bulls. Epic. Six. And
remember when Danny Bonaduce went on Letterman and got money every time he said Larry Wirt on the air? And they had a Larry Wirt. Never mind. You guys are too young.
I didn't know that, but I wish I could get paid money to just say random things.
I am your age, but you're much more mature than me. So, like, you're a mom and you have families and things like that. Happy Easter, by the way.
And you sort of.
Where are your Easter colors, Carmen?
What do you mean? I'm wearing a blue and a gray. What are Easter colors?
That is Cowboys colors.
Yeah, you look like a Dallas Cowboys fan.
I needed some pink.
How about them Cowboys? I got pink on. I have pink. I have a pink camisole.
I apologize for not dressing appropriately.
I'm comfortable wearing pink.
I like pink.
You look Eastery.
Thank you, Hannah.
You're welcome. I'm excited to see you guys. I don't get to see you anymore. It's
you
nice.
Want to stay for the show?
I have been known to do that. Hannah Stanley here at the International Home and Housewares Show at McCormick Place in Chicago, Illinois. And today I am learning about a new product. I've described it twice as outright witchcraft. And it is the red wine stain remover. But the one I'm more intrigued by, to be quite honest, is the Messy Eater Stain Treater. With me is Harry Smale, who I believe is the inventor and possible sorcerer. I'm not entirely sure, but we're going to learn about the background on the product and how it actually works. Harry, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you.
Now, okay, how did this all start? I saw the video on the wine stain remover, and again, I just think it's incredibly fascinating.
Well, it all basically started with my mum and her white linen tablecloth. We used to have a lot of dinner parties, and red wine would get stained. And my mum's sort of home recipe was white wine and salt, which was a waste of white wine. And we just get a crusty linen table cloth, and then my dad would have to send it away to the dry cleaners. So it always felt like there was something really annoying there. Anyway, that was, you know, back when I was growing up, I then went off and did other various businesses, but always had this idea for a stain remover that really worked. One time I had some time on my hands, I looked, decided I was going to crack the solution, and I went to look for what was the best possible formula. Spent time developing it, and then Chateau Spill and Miss Mouths are the results.
So I'm guessing you can't share with us the monstrous secret, but from when you decided to do this to when it is the product we know and I'm telling you people are going to love, how long did that development take?
Well, I mean, from the first idea till about to actually launching was probably about 5 years because I had another business that I was running. So it was sort of like a passion project, which involved lots of drinking of wine and testing of stain removal. So it wasn't really the hardest thing to, it wasn't the hardest thing to work on. And obviously sometimes I forgot exactly by the end of the night which had worked better. So we finally worked out that we had a formula that really worked, and not just for red wine, but for all stains. It borrows on some technology that has been used in hospitals to remove stains from lab technicians' hands when they work with slides underneath a microscope. And so it's sort of like there's no bleaching, no peroxide, no phosphates, 100% biodegradable surfactant that just, you know, removes stains on impact, and as you say, does look slightly like it's sleight of hand, but it's not.
It really does. Now, beyond that, the Messy Eater Stain Treater, because we have children and we have, spouses that are messy, and this is a good portion of my day is looking at every piece of clothing before it goes into the wash to make sure that I don't miss something, because once it goes through that process, it's done. It's there for forever. So tell me where people can get it and how this works.
Well, you can just launched it. Miss Mouse, I just launched this a couple of weeks ago. So it's getting into stores now at good independent kitchen stores, good independent gift stores from my website, which is missmouths.com. The thing about it is that it's made and looks, and obviously it's on radio, you can't see, but it's made and looks so that it can actually be out there where the stains are taking place. So it's, you know, it can go into a diaper bag, it can go into a car, and so whether it's a berry stain on a piece of nice clean white t-shirt at the start of the day, you just need to get through the end of the day, or it's a what we'll call a less savory stain that you just want to sort of pre-treat and forget about. It works tremendously well.
All right, I'm going to sound very British when I say this, but I splashed tea all over my white shirt the other day, and this would have been very helpful. Is this something you spray on at the time of the stain, and then you can get through?
Yeah, I mean, speed definitely helps, just because, you know, the staining process is about time there. We actually do work really well on set-in stains. We were in, for our red wine stain remover, we were reviewed in Wired, and it was, the quote was inarguable, indisputable, no matter how long the stain had been there, we were the best. It was such a good review that my dad thought a friend of mine had written it, which tells you more about my dad's relationship with myself and what he thinks his son is capable of. But, it was a great review. So, yes, speed does help. If it is set in, then what we suggest is just you can just wet it again, and that just makes it easier to work with. Some stains, as example, makeup or blood, just a little bit of rubbing activates the stain removal. Otherwise, it's pretty self-explanatory. If it's something that doesn't like water, then you do need to be careful, obviously, because there's water in it, and you do want to rinse out it, whether it's in the laundry or if it's on upholstery, rinse it out with a sponge. So if it doesn't like water, you do need to be careful, and then it's just a question of putting it on a paper towel and dabbing it to avoid the water stain.
Want to leave the water ring.
You don't want to leave the water ring. We're safe on anything that's color fast. So if it's going to run in water, then you need to be careful. Now, some people always say, well, look, if it's going to be a ruined garment, I'd rather give it a go. And so, we see a lot of success just with dabbing and using less. It's such a powerful formula.
Powerful formula. This is incredibly exciting. Moms and dads of the world and very messy eaters of the world. This doesn't just have to be for kids. And people who enjoy their drink. enough that they sometimes spill. These are the products for you. It is the Chateau Spill Red Wine Stain Remover and Miss Mouth's Messy Eater Stain Treater, where finer products are sold. Amazon.com, I'm wondering?
Amazon, our own website, Miss Mouth's or ChateauSpill.com, and our soon-to-be-launched website, HateStains.com.
HateStains.com. Look for it. Ask for it by name. And then after the show, I'm sure you'll be retailing at many, many other places where people can get to easily. Hannah Stanley, Harry Smale, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Hannah.
Hannah Stanley here. And one of the things I love most about coming to the Houseware Show here at McCormick Place in Chicago is the fact that I get to discover things that are brand new to me and then possibly brand new to you as well. Standing with me right now is Tom and Joanne Sullivan. They are they're the founders. They were the everything behind Totally Bamboo. I am obsessed with bamboo cutting boards. I have been for a little bit. I love the sustainability of them. I love some of the functionality of them, and I love how they look, but I have to tell you, people, Tom and Joanne have elevated this to a completely new, different, and exciting level, and that's part of what's great about their story. Tom, you started, and I stopped you. I said, no, wait for just a moment until I'm recording. You started to tell me that your focus is really on the art of these of this bamboo.
Well, initially, when we started 15 years ago, Joanne and I are both artists. So we're not such business people as artists. So when we created products, we were creating something that we love, not necessarily something that would turn a profit, because we came into this just wanting to create something pretty. We brought it to market, and we, lo and behold, everyone loved it, and the price points were correct. And this was 16 years ago. We were the first people to come to market with bamboo cutting boards. And we've kept that lead, and every year we create 40 or 50 new products. We now have over 500 SKUs that we sell. It's just amazing. We amaze ourselves how many different bamboo items that we can create.
It's something that became very chic, as I'm sure you all know, because of the sustainability of bamboo and the fact that it grows so quickly. But I very vividly remember walking into a home that was staged, a model home, and they had a bamboo cutting board on the counter. And I was like, what is this? This is so incredible. And it was about that time frame. So it was probably one of your products. Now you have them in different shapes and sizes for people's decor. I'm looking at a wine bottle, at a fleur-de-lis, at a pig, at a maple leaf. But you also have some of the most beautiful things. There's a parquet cutting board, things that are incredibly beautiful. Joanne, tell me how long this process takes from concept until actually production.
It could take anywhere from a year or less. It depends on the complexity of the item. The ones with the lasered artwork, those take a long time. That's a lot of work. It goes back and forth on the drawing table. It goes back and forth to the factory and back, and we are continually tweaking it until we get it right. So it could take up to a year.
I have to tell you, though, I'm actually kind of surprised you said a year, because it really seems to me like these are things that you would be working on consistently, and to have all these variety of SKUs. There's so much time to put into each one. Tell me how this dishwasher safe, you have a dishwasher safe cutting board. This is fascinating to me.
Our dishwasher safe cutting board is, it's a process. It's the glue. It's a special process too that can take the heat.
Right. So it doesn't melt.
Exactly. It doesn't fall apart into little pieces.
The bamboo cutting board took us years and years to develop because we wanted to test it and make sure it was right. So every time we'd develop a new version of it, we would wash it for about 3 months. And so that took a long time to perfect. We're really proud that it is the only bamboo cutting board that is dishwasher safe.
I love the fact that it's dishwasher safe, because I do find myself, especially with things that are messier, I use the plastic cutting boards because they can go in the dishwasher. Now this is very exciting. For those who aren't familiar about with the durability or longevity of a bamboo cutting board, tell me how that plays out.
Well, actually, bamboo is 16% harder than oak. And oak's a hard wood, we all know, but not so hard that it dulls your knives. That's the beauty of bamboo. It's a perfect wood for cutting on because it just have enough give that you have the feel when you're dicing and slicing and your knife isn't skittering around on the board.
And as far as the care and upkeep for these boards, Joanne, if you could...
We have mineral oil and coconut cream that we put on it to, you know, make it last longer. It makes it look nice. It makes it look brand new. So, I mean, they're very long-lasting.
One of the things we're so excited about this year is that we've been using mineral oil for years. That is the go-to oil for cutting boards. But so many of our customers are eco-conscious. They kept asking for a more natural. So we developed a odor-free coconut oil, cutting board oil, that is as good as mineral oil, but with no chemicals, no odor, so it doesn't transfer to your food, and it lasts almost as, if not longer, than mineral oil.
And coconut oil, as you said, it's the new chic thing, but it really does make sense. But you don't want to always have your kitchen smell like you're on vacation. So the taking away the smell of the coconut really does make a difference. It's not going, your pork isn't going to smell like coconut, or whatever, your vegetables won't smell like it. Where can people find Totally Bamboo products, online or in local stores?
Well, we're distributed throughout the country at your larger gourmet stores and many, many stores. But if you have any problems, call totallybamboo.com and we'll direct you to a store in your neighborhood.
Excellent. I can't thank you, Joanne and Tom Sullivan, enough. This has been fascinating to learn more about, and I hope you have had a great trip.